Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order for September 28th, 2011. And roll call.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Here.
Director Searcy?
Here.
President Angelo?
Here.
Director Hurdle?
Here.
Vice President Guerrero?
Here.
Mary, you're first.
Four.
Roll call.
Flag salute, please.
Thank you. That's why I was so stunned.
Rick?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next item we have is agenda review. And I do have, if I can request that we move item 10A up to right under board member comments. Would that be okay?
Item 10A?
Yes.
That works for me, but it's your discretion.
All right, we'll do that then. Let's move that up a little bit. Okay, we have the board will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in order of the day. The board should, by motion, approve the agenda as presented or as revised. Next item will be public comments. Comments should be limited to items not on the agenda and those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Your comments should be directed to the board as a whole. And
the district is very pleased. I think I can speak for it, and I think with everybody working together, this is going to be a very successful event.
Think so.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And all of this now, we were able to get a commitment from EcoSLO and the California Conservation Corps. They will be sending people to help us with the oceanic cleanup.
Great.
That's
great.
Great.
Thank you. That's great. Okay. Do you have any board member comments? Anybody?
I have none.
Okay, I'd like to move the item 10A up. We'd like to find out who the present winners are of the picture selection up here. I've been asked, and everybody keeps saying, you've got to know who it is. And I said, I don't know who it is.
I don't know either.
So we would like to announce the winners if we know who they are. That's the...
Mr. Geeslin has that information.
Mr. Geeslin. The man with all
good
the
evening,
answers.
Madam Chairman, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. We both have to sign these signatures, and I will make the announcement once I get your signature.
Oh, okay.
Since you moved it up.
I'm sorry. Didn't tell me.
And then I will make the announcement, and
boy, these are fancy ones, too.
I want to peek, but I won't. But I think while she signs, so we thank everyone whose contributions came in. They were really great photographs. And
I actually liked them all.
Last time we had a really good time looking at each of those. It was a lot of fun. So thank you to everybody who contributed.
They're going to go on display on our newly painted wall in the lobby.
Yay.
Great. Great.
Yeah, and then we're also going to put them on the website. And feature them on the website, and then we are going to get very nice frames to complement the great pictures.
Oh, good.
So what I understand was the voting was exceptionally close, and as a matter of fact, when I got back, they all said you needed to run in here and cast your ballot because we need to know who the winner is. So it is with great pleasure that I present Norman R. Hammond with the first place award for the first annual Oceano Community Service District photo contest.
Yay. Okay.
And we'll steal the photograph off the video.
Mr. Hammond?
And that's number five, right?
That's number five.
That was a great photo.
You're going to have to put your mug up here.
Lori?
You have to talk.
Come over here so we can see you. First annual photo contest that we've had for the community, and you have taken first place. The picture that you selected, I think everyone was enjoying it. I was trying to figure out how they catch a plane in that. They never catch a plane on that, but it's a very nice picture. We appreciate your efforts, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And like I said, the voting was extremely close, and our honorable mention goes to Linda Austin.
Number six. Right on.
We can get you in here. Okay, Linda, you have honorable mention for the picture that you have provided to the Community Services District for our first annual photo contest. And it says springtime in Oceana Dunes. And thank you. It's going to look great in here. And congratulations.
Thank you.
And once again, all the photos will be placed on the website, and then we'll display them in the lobby. And we have another surprise that will be done in the lobby, and these photos will showcase that. But we're not quite ready to put that portion up yet. But I want to thank everybody for contributing. And we intend to do this on an annual basis. And I really thank everybody that contributed and our winners for outstanding capturing of our wonderful community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Okay.
That's exactly how I thought it would be.
Okay, let's move on to 7A, Report of OCSD Operations.
Good evening, Madam Chairman and other directors and Oceana community members attending this meeting. We're very grateful for what Oceana staff has done. We just completed a billing cycle, and the billing cycle brought up several issues that didn't happen in the cycle before, or the communication didn't get transferred. We have some meter issues that still present problems. We still have a lot of antiquated meters out there, even though I've reported that we've replaced over 400. We still have more to do, and they keep presenting problems as we go through it. But we're addressing it on a day-to-day basis. We just ordered new meters, and the boys are out there addressing each problem as they come along. We have software issues. As you know, we made the decision to put everything up on Tyler, and it runs. It meets our needs, I'd say, about 70% of the time. But we're still having major issues with it. As a matter of fact, Marie and I were both on the phone with vice presidents today, feeling the wrath of Tom because of the problems that my staff has had to encounter with us. So we have an action and response list that we are working to, but quite candidly, I'm going to be a little preemptive and say that my gut feel is we will be on a new, cheaper, more efficient software system at the start of, not at the fiscal year, but the start of the year.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how much blood pressure points went up this morning when we put together the list of problems that we had. So, but we are working it.
Tom.
Yes.
Can I ask you, when you're dealing with this this company that has a checkered past, are you keeping track of like the administrative hours that are being wasted on their system? Because a lot of that cost that comes with, you know, things like that, it really gets sucked up administratively. The, being in, you know,
I haven't, pinpointed the hours. I haven't pinpointed the hours, but we have documented when we make the request for service calls. And some of the problems are just mind-boggling. Marie will make a report, and then the very next day we will double-check our progress, and we can't run the report. And by the time we get back to them, here's how it works. When we have a problem, we call them. Mm-hmm. It goes to an answering center. And then we wait anywhere from a half hour to 4 hours to get response back. Well, if I've got a customer that's having a major problem or we're trying to trace something, that's futile time. And I brought that to their attention in very colorful detail today.
And I know that you've taken their contract and their technical assistance and compared the two of what they said that they were going to do in their contract for technical assistance and what they provided, right?
Right.
You know, I know you're covering every point.
And the biggest problem is that some of the problems that we're having are so elementary, and then every time we want to do something, there's a cost. And then that cost just keeps getting incremental and incremental and incremental. And quite candidly, if we had the money that we spent on that software back, I wouldn't be worried about some of the infrastructure things that I have to fix in the system.
Right.
And that's our water and sewer system. So Marie and I are putting a full court press on it. We've now got to the point where our firefight mode is pretty much put behind us, and we're now able to do some forward planning and attack the things that we said we attacked per the plan that I gave you. We've given them every benefit of the doubt, but the reality of the situation is it doesn't fit what this district needs, and we need to make the changes. And I'm so sensitive to the song and dance that we went through with the AS400 to Tyler that I am trying to make the transition as seamless as possible and select something that will meet our needs but keep our costs way under control. And I'll have discussions with the council on how to break the contract and whether we can get part of our money back.
All right. Thank you so much for doing that. I know it's a headache.
Let me talk to you about our customer base. I'm just going to mention it here, and then I'll go into some more detail. This last billing cycle, we had a lot more hardship issues come forward. And when I say hardship issues, I fielded a lot of phone calls, and so did Marie, when people are calling up with bill problems. And typically what happens is, and we've all been there, right? You don't have enough money to get to the end of the month. The water bill comes. That's the last bill you want to pay. And you push it off, and then all of a sudden you're getting a notice, and now that's cost you money, and then all of a sudden somebody's turned you off and that type of thing. I'm extremely sensitive to the economy here, and I'm extremely sensitive to the hardships that people are made. And we have been existing resolutions that the very much aware of what these people are going through. And, you know, when we have a meter that has been working at like 35%, we put a brand new meter in. Yes. Granted, they've been getting free water, but now that there comes that rude awakening or sticker shock, oh, wow, I really was getting away with it. Now, we've been working with people identifying leaks and that type of thing, but there's a sensitivity level there, and we are exercising compassion, but we're not giving away the ranch.
Thank you, Tom. Okay. I appreciate that sensitivity.
We've also found incidences where meters have been tampered with, and in these economic times, we also know that is also an issue, but we won't stand for it, and we are drawing a pretty hard line on that because we do have mechanisms to work with people. We had a community block development grant, and I mentioned it in my Friday report. It was work that R. Baker did, and they have continued to very graciously and nicely invoice us for past due stuff. When I got and researched it, this thing should have been taken care of back in May. Mm-hmm. It took sending copies of invoices and a brief description of what was going on, and it just didn't get done. And I was a little bit testy in my Friday report because I've told you guys that I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. But it's just one more thing that's popped its ugly head where the previous management was so incompetent that they didn't handle it correctly. So now we've got it. And oh, by the way, we were this close to losing it. So we mad scrambled, got the report in. I got word back today that they have everything and they're going to process it. If we didn't get that money, we would still owe the money to our baker, and so that would have been a $90,000 hit on our books. So that has been addressed. I'm monitoring on a daily basis, but it's just one more thing.
Sir, that's separate from the last invoice of R.J. Baker, because the board took a vote to pay that invoice. And so is this an entirely different invoice?
No, it's the same invoice.
Because the board took an action to pay it.
When did we take that action? On my watch?
Probably not.
Probably between... Were you here, Marie, on that one?
No, and the final bill is just, it's his retention on the project, which typically hold 10%, and it's been sitting on the books for quite some time.
Yeah,
and
but
I think
the board did take an action
very much
to pay
aware
that.
Of it. But I think that it did not get paid because the last of the money that was supposed to be given from the county wasn't submitted for, so it's just, you know, I think it got left on the corner of the desk, so to speak, and so...
Yeah. The board did take an action to clear that. Do you remember that, Lori, too?
Yeah, I do, kind of, because of
Matt.
I remember. I don't remember when it was, though.
Okay, well, why don't we do this? We'll take... I've been talking with R. Baker on a weekly basis. They've been very patient and gracious and work with me. They understand the situation. If you look at the accounts payable that we have right now... I don't know where we would get that money from.
We even had a check in the warrants.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't know where it's gone to because...
We haven't seen it. I don't think this has happened on my watch.
No, I don't think it's on your watch.
I definitely don't think that.
But the fact of the matter is that...
And I know it happened after the water bill was ignored. The big water bill that was due in February. So I'll go back to my minutes because I do remember the check being in the warrants. I remember, you know, that the money, you know, the 10% was held back for completion of the job, the discussion, the invoice was in our packet, everything.
Well, it hasn't occurred on my watch. We have money with the county.
Uh-huh.
I have an agreement with R. Baker that once the county releases it, that we would pay them and go forward. But you don't have an open check to R. Baker on anywhere, do you?
There's no open check to Baker on our books, and it's probably a check that was generated in the AS-400 and maybe in the process of all of that stuff being transferred over. It didn't make it in the transfer process, and... Of course, one of the issues that we dealt with when we were trying to gather all this information together was there would be one check in the computer run, but then when you would go and find the actual check, it had a different check number on it. So they were not using the check register to correspond with the checks that had numbers printed on them. So it's made...
County. I originally started working on this with Wallace Group, and when I went, I wasn't satisfied, so I paid them a visit last week, and the guy that I was dealing with said that he hadn't had any conversation with anybody since 5/20, and so that obviously predates me, because I didn't come on until the 24th of June. So we got that resolved. And that's what prompted him to show me the correspondence that he did give. And I dug through another box and I found it where that stuff was given to Mr. Montemiro on 5/20 and it didn't get taken care of. Okay, FEMA. We have submitted all the paperwork back. I reported that to you. I was told by the people in FEMA that it would be 8 weeks from the time that they got our stuff and accepted it. I was on the phone with the state today. And they said that they are backlogged because of furlough Fridays and staff being cut, but we could probably expect payment within another 4 weeks, so I put 4 to 6 weeks, but I continue to monitor that. And for those of you that weren't here, we had a whole bunch of stuff that should have been filed back in 08, 09, and 010, and it never got done. And it has to do with the San Simeon earthquake and money that we have already paid out to get that stuff done. And it's our FEMA funds coming back to us, and so I'm fighting for that as we on a continual basis. The field, we are noticing that we're getting more and more field failures due to antiquated equipment. Director Searcy was out on a job with us this week, and we, because Mr. Searcy is responsible for the field, we have weekly conversations of what's going on out there. And, you know, we've got old galvanized pipe that's just breaking. Yeah. And we've got things that should have been replaced years ago not there. And so we've got a full court press on identifying by priority and what we can live with and what we can't live, but we're not there yet to formalize a plan to give it to you. These things are popping up, and we just need to be able to take the time and address them. And Dan and I and Director Searcy will come back to you guys with a field plan. I envision that getting completed within the next 2 weeks. So hopefully by your next meeting, I will have a field plan for you. The Sanitation District. We've been working independently to help them identify their problems with the stuff coming into the plant being too high for them to process. Our data supports others, other things. It doesn't...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, sir.
Our data doesn't support that Oceana is complying or knocking out of compliance. But I'll let Director Angela, since she just attended the meeting, when her board of directors' time comes, that, or her time to speak, she can address that. We are sharing our data, and we are, and to my knowledge, we are the only agency that is working to help them. Roy Grandy hasn't come forward with anything, and I believe Director Angelo asked if Grover Beach was doing something tonight, and they said they weren't doing anything. So we are trying to help solve the problem. We found out tonight that they had some more violations, so the hits just keep right on coming. We also had been hearing that the Banana Boy person was the main target for their problems, and they've been claiming that for the last couple months. And then I had a discussion with the state parks people on Director Searcy's advisement, and he confirmed, the state parks guy confirmed to me, when they heard the rattling that it was Banana Boy, they asked him to stop dumping in the sanitation district 2 months ago. So they prepared a cease and desist order to get him to stop, and he'd already stopped. So my big question is, do they really have control of their process? And maybe we need to take further action on that.
And where would they dump?
Where does Banana Boy dump?
No. Where would that company dump if they didn't dump at LeSage, which is the state?
Dump at Pismo.
So is Pismo have a record of them going over
and
dumping?
Yeah, and they're not having any problems.
And they're bringing in the same amount?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they're definitely working.
Right. And so it's been, it's nobody knows. But I want to thank Director Searcy for bringing that to our attention, and the state parks for that. Now, the area that they do is extremely small, and I went there today and... Yeah, sorry. So anyways, we need to possibly put this on an agenda item at the next board meeting and have a serious discussion about it. I think it's time for us to act.
Okay.
All right. Next, we have the Mendoza Recycle Center. The Mendoza Recycle Center is being built on the alley behind La Tapatia, and it was approved by the Planning Commission to allow them to go forward. They got a lot of concessions allowing them to go forward, and It was brought to our attention that they procured water from St. Francis Church there and electricity from St. Francis Church without permission from St. Patrick's Parish.
Now, wait a minute. Which one? Are we talking about the new recycling center behind the church, or are we talking about the one that is on the side of La Tapatia and that's moving into the alley?
No, we're talking about the one that's across the street from St. Francis Church.
The new one that hasn't been there for years and years.
It was the Oceano Advisory Council advised against it.
Yes.
And Planning Commission allowed them to do it, and they gave them concessions. It was noted that they procured without permission water from St. Francis Church and electricity from St. Francis Church. And how they did it was they ran really long extension cord and they ran a really long garden hose. And so I've been on the phone with Public Works, and we are going to make a recommendation that they procure water the proper way from Oceana Community Service District and pay the $12,000 hookup fee, and then this problem will go away. So if I don't have any, at the next board meeting, I will come back to you with that solution. I addressed Tyler already, but we are we basically have an action response, and we're treating it under a war room condition where I am having discussions with their VP on a twice-a-week basis to get these problems resolved. Customer service, we're receiving several complaints on the bills. A lot of this is due to the economic times, and, you know, we've increased. Every time they open the paper, the garbage company is going to increase. There's rumors the sanitation district wants to increase. So all this stuff is starting to come more to the forefront. Nobody complains about our quality of service. So I'm really proud about that, because we did institute major changes to that. We have some personnel issues that we need to address. So Director Guerrero, I'm requesting that we have a personnel meeting at the end of this week. We've also done, as I reported in my Friday report, both board liability insurance reviews and health insurance reviews. We are subject to have updated reviews in October, and then our renewal date is in April. And a lot of the stuff that we can do in October, which you will be notified at the board meeting, is no cost, and it improves some of our coverages and refines some of our coverages. And then in April, I believe on some areas we're going to see a cost reduction. And that's because staff has been really trying to pinpoint exactly what we need and everything else. As far as your liabilities and that type of thing, we're all covered. If we have any other incidences like we closed in the last meetings, we will also be covered on those. And if we need to entertain them or engage them, we're in a position to do that. Finally, OCSD has been assisting in the Oceana cleanup as part of help from the request from the Oceana Advisory Council and Director Hurdle. And today I was able to procure, through donations, ice cream for their volunteers and water and chips for the lunches that they're going to serve for the volunteers, out of donations that we've just people that want to be friendly to Oceana. And then finally, with the fire district, we are working, we're almost in conversations on a weekly basis, and we are working together on a myriad of things, which I will report, and Chief Hubert will report at the next meeting. And that wraps it up.
Thank you.
Any questions?
No, thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Okay, let's move down to
Goal is to raise more money for the fire authority to provide more adequate fire protection, quicker response times, and more public education. And so they will probably have another report on it. The next meeting is going to be the third Friday in October, which I believe is the, well, actually it might be the 17th. I think we moved it. Apologize. Next meeting, 10:28 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at Cobra Beach City Council. Finally, the other thing, the big thing is there is an active recruitment going on for a new fire chief. Chief Hubert is retiring. And I've just reviewed 30 applications for fire chief. Chief Hubert and there's a third person are also reviewing those applications. We're trying to narrow down for the top eight candidates who will be invited to interview. Those interviews are going to be held on October 21st all day long. And so I'll be there for that, and I'll be able to report on the 26th what happened in those interviews. I don't know if we'll have made a decision at that point or not, but that's the status of that. Chief Hubert's hours run out at the end of this year, this calendar year, and so obviously we'll be looking to bring somebody in and make a seamless transition as we can make. Thank you.
Just one question, Matt.
Yes.
On that, is that a, you know, the, I guess, a new fire district?
The district, right.
Would that be a process of a LAFCO also?
I believe so. I'm not sure, but I would think that it would be. Okay. Right now, what they're looking at is just whether or not it'd be feasible. It'd have to be voter supported. And so there was a study that went out. There is a majority that are in support of this, and it could come about in a couple of ways. It could come in either a benefit assessment or a parcel tax. And so they're looking at numbers, and they're trying to figure out what the constituents are willing to pay, if any, towards increased fire protection. And so. There was a presentation by Brian Robinson, who's a consultant, on that matter.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the end of my reports.
Okay.
Okay.
Rick?
Okay. I attended the September 15th Zone 3 flood control, and we was quite extensive agenda that night, but we were able to place on the next agenda for the Zone 3's bylaws change, and that'll come up on our agenda tonight. And back on the 15th, the lake was currently at 92%. Several reports on what the forecast is going to be. They believe that we're going to have a spill in this coming year. It was a national graphics showing where they predict the droughts and where they predict the rainfall in California. It looks like it's going to get the rain.
Let's get to speak in the mic.
Okay. Also, they had a report on the HCP, which is the environmental issues in the Arroyo Grande Creek. We had the surplus water status, the paper reduction opportunities. It was considered by the county that staff took a look at different ways of reducing the paper trail for some of the meetings, and they talked about maybe just getting everybody a little internet book, but then a lot of us are not that literate, so that kind of fell by the way. I mean, the cost wasn't that extensive, but it just didn't seem feasible at the time. Pablo Origen spoke on the water banking issue. As we all know, we're taking surplus right now, and that any surplus that it won't be taken, it banks into the next year, but then after that, it starts over again. They had the capital projects updates. We had just installed a new system of chlorinators for our DAP system. They're doing very well. They got like 60 days or so to run. It cuts across. It goes into the bottom part of the dam.
Okay.
And that's the Rodriguez Bridge. And the county's thinking that is their project, but they're looking at it and seeing what the Zone 3 can actually mitigate, and they might have to move that water line just to get it out of harm's way so that we can have a continuance of water being delivered to the water treatment plant.
Okay, Mary?
I didn't do anything. No, really, I didn't.
I know nothing.
I'm sorry, I didn't attend any meetings. Okay. There wasn't any meetings to attend. And Rick did just fine on Zone 3.
Three legs.
So, so I didn't do anything.
Actually, that was your report, Mary, because I'm
That's
your
right.
alternate. So
he's the alternate, so, you know.
Okay.
No, he attended the Zone 3. I was...
unavailable.
Yeah, that's right. No, actually, I was at the doctor's if people really want to know.
Okay, I had the sanitation meeting tonight, just before ours.
Sorry.
That's okay. We had some discussions about the final payoff for the centrifuge, which is going to be done, adjustment of $117,000 that we were over a little bit, but apparently that'll be made up. Also, the sewer system management plan came up for a communication plan to possibly hire someone to do a professional communication for information regarding the sanitation district and information for fog programs and things like that.
Is that kind of like a PR firm?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they're going to hire a PR firm?
No, that
they
was
should.
Discussed, and pretty much the three agencies kind of thought we could do this ourselves.
Oh, good.
And it's going to be brought back for discussion on the next meeting. And also...
And we encouraged them to take that.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Also, there was, they've been having some problems with the BOD and violations and things like that, and they're looking at using another source for testing for comparison. They're using multiple sources, but they're going to add one more to it and see how it comes out.
How many sources will that be that they have gone through for testing?
The two that they've been using, one of them they're going to postpone and try another company.
And then they had the in-house...
Yeah.
And then they quit the in-house
because
that didn't come out right.
Right.
And then they went to another company.
Right. They've got two, and on the one, they're going to set it aside and try another company just to see if which ones, because they're so different. They're trying to figure out, well, if we bring in a third one and see how their management
And then they can bring in a fourth and a fifth.
Well,
then we go out of state.
You get two out of three, that should be good, I would think. But we'll go from there. Also, there was some communication about some funds that are going to be coming available for the Zone 11A. And I'm not real familiar with that myself, but it has approximately $2.2 million, which is going to be part of the raising of the levy, possibly, and doing some cleaning. And that was brought up for discussion, and everybody seemed pretty excited about that.
May I comment on that, please?
Yes,
thank
please.
You.
Basically, what happened was when they did the Nacimiento setup up there, there were some additional funds left over. And with the flooding problems that Oceano has experienced in the past, the county has recognized the problem, and so there was a very fair and accurate deal by Public Works to procure some of that money, and that money will go to building up the levee, cleaning out the creek, cleaning out the flap gates, and possibly some work on the lagoon. Now that's half the amount of money that's needed to do the whole project, but at least it's a strong commitment, and they're out trying to get additional funds. And I'm very pleased to say that Public Works included, which I reported on, OCSD in providing additional information to help work that, and they did implement that stuff into the plan. So that is a win for everybody, and I think that's a good first step.
Yeah, that's the first good news we've heard in a while.
Well, I'm glad to see that, because if the public remembers and the board remembers when we had the breach at the levee, it took all of the reserves of Zone 1-1A after that. And then, of course, we went to an election, and, you know, everyone that was in...
Look at more information-wise. And that was about it, other than... There was also one other thing. There was a... Let me find it on here. Sabrina Spears has retired. She is going to be given a resolution for 25 years of service with the district, and they couldn't get a hold of her, didn't contact her. They figure she's already out traveling, so this will be brought up again at the next meeting, and maybe we can get her to come in and also give her the resolution then. And that was about it for sanitation.
I know this is a touchy subject. Was there any discussion on the state fines? Or was it not on the agenda?
We didn't discuss anything with state fines.
No. Oh, okay.
Just that I haven't heard any more, so.
Do we have any idea how much the fines are, in the ballpark? Or is the state still got the calculator out hitting the buttons?
I would think they've still got the calculator out, because we're still fighting a problem of trying to figure out where the problem actually is.
Okay.
So I haven't heard anything. Tom, have you gotten anything?
No, I haven't heard anything either. But in fairness, they had a bunch of conflicts where they couldn't have their meeting on a regularly scheduled time, and so they actually did it previous to this meeting. And so if you'd have got here at 5 o'clock, you could have attended their meeting. But they were running on an abbreviated schedule because of the special meeting. And then they also had the opening of their centrifuge and open house today as well, which Director Angelo has pamphlets to hand you.
Yeah, I
just don't want to lose sight of that.
I don't think anybody is.
Would you like one?
Okay.
And there was also, I've seen some articles about the grand jury, the response to the grand jury report for the sanitation district.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, so you don't have any information on what the response was?
No, I didn't hear anything about that. Okay. Nothing.
I haven't seen it yet. So.
Okay. Well, good. I want to see it, too.
Director Angelo?
Yes?
Can I ask a favor?
Sure.
Should we take a quick break before, just a quick, like, three-minute break before 10B?
Sure.
I just need to use the copy machine.
Okay.
Okay, Madam Chairman, now we have a review of the minutes.
Correct. Okay, do we have any questions or changes or anything on the minutes?
There's one change on the minutes.
There is a change?
Yes, regarding the...
Which number yet, Serta?
It is the report regarding the spaghetti dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, it was announced that it was going to be at the Oceano Park from 3 to 5. And that's been changed.
Thelma, you have to speak at the mic. If I can't hear you, the rest of the
Sorry.
Else can't
okay,
hear
it is a change to the announcement made about the spaghetti dinner for the Oceano cleanup. And it's no longer at the Oceano Park. It will be at the depot. And it will be from 5 to 7?
3 to 5.
3 to 5, 5 to
No, 5 to 7. That's a change also.
I'm going to be starving by then.
I know. I think about spaghetti all week.
I'm a professional eater, so.
Okay.
And with those corrections, I'll make a motion to approve.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Nice try, buddy.
But I think that actually accurately, the way the minutes are accurately reflect how it was presented. It's just that we're correcting it now, right?
Oh, that's true. That is the way it was presented.
So I think I think technically the minute is correct on that level.
Okay.
Right.
Ms. Lucy?
Under staff present, was it Mr. Gieslin? Was he?
Last week?
He wasn't
last
at time, the no. meeting. No, he was excused.
Yeah, I was excused.
Staff absent.
Wasn't that you're absent? You were excused.
Well, it says staff absent on the.
I was.
No, it has him under staff absent. Present.
I was
no,
absent.
No, right across from his name says staff absent.
Under
oh, they just blended him. I'm sorry. Yeah. It just
That's
looked
okay.
like a running row. But he was excused.
Okay, was there anything else?
I move that we accept the spaghetti, minutes.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And... let's go to
this is the painful part.
Cash disbursements.
Cash disbursements. I'm going to present
goodness.
To you item
and Board of Supervisors to have Zone 3 bylaws reviewed and proposed recommended changes.
May I ask you that we take a quick
oh you want to take a break
quick,
that's fine.
Can we take a break? Are we okay with that right now?
I'll move for a five. You want 5 or 10 minutes?
5 is fine.
I'll move for a 5 minute break.
Okay, we will be taking a 5 minute break.
You better be ready.
Good.
Item is 10B, review draft letter to the Zone 3 Tech Board and Board of Supervisors. Have the Zone 3 bylaws reviewed and proposed recommendations.
Madam Chairman, this came back
okay.
on the agenda, and I already had a discussion with Director Searcy on it, and in my opinion, it's not our place to issue a letter. It's part of the due process of that committee that they, as members of that committee, whoever's there, request that they have a bylaw review, and then they take it forward, and then that person brings that back to the board for discussion. But as for us to initiate a letter, it's not in the best interest of this board to do it, because quite candidly, it's not our action to take care of.
Okay.
So I just want to bring that up.
Actually, it was me who brought up the issue of reviewing the bylaws 2 meetings back.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, when they said that they got it, when they get a letter from the district, our district, that it would be agendized. And so it hasn't even been put on the agenda. I was really surprised to see that it wasn't on the agenda.
Well, I thought Director
because I requested, and it says in the minutes that I requested that it be put on the next agenda.
I thought that Director Searcy just reported that they agreed to look at the bylaws.
Yeah, at the last meeting they did, but Mary is right. She's the one that actually requested to the review of the bylaws. And then when I came involved, because that issue came to the Zone 3 Tech, which I do sit on, and it was addressed. And then when I received this under in the bylaws of Zone 3, under item 13, it says the revision, deletions, and additions. Proposed revisions to the deletions of any and additions to these bylaws shall be submitted to the committee at least 1 meeting in advance of voting, and except to all shall prevail where the statement to accept the change is unanimous. In all other cases, simple majority vote shall decide, and changes will become effective upon receiving a favorable vote of the Board of Supervisors' approval. So, to me, that is like a formal request to review those bylaws. Now, and then that's where I had it agenda on this at the OCSD. Now, I have no problem if it's just maybe a personal letter from myself to Zone 3 requesting the review of the bylaws, but I just wanted to cover any technicalities of getting into this. And then at the last Zone 3 meeting, I mentioned that And they were receptive. They thought that that the bylaws should be reviewed. And then at that time, you know, I offered the rest of the members of Zone 3 to bring forth any changes that they might want to see, and that I would personally meet with Dean Benedict, who is the manager of Zone 3, and go over the issues that Mary had and I had reviewing these bylaws. So I just kind of want to formally initiate the process and make sure that we had all the I's dotted and T's crossed prior to getting any type of discussions and then having a vote at Zone 3.
So when is the next Zone 3 meeting?
It will...
I know it's in October, but I can't remember the date.
I have it right here.
She's got a calendar.
Next? Yeah, watch out. I have a calendar. 6th.
The 6th. I'm going to ask council to come in and say whether it's in our place to be forefront on this or to sit back and work it from our representatives on the committee.
Okay.
I'm not sure the status or the purpose if it's
for those changes to be presented to Zone 3.
Okay, it seems to me that based on just what I'm hearing from you guys is that somebody needs to request that Zone 3 initiate a review of the bylaws.
I did.
Okay, and has that been done?
Yes. I mean, no, there hasn't been a review. See, two meetings back, right, the chair was up for re-election. They arbitrarily just picked who they wanted to be the chair in and moved forward. And I thought that there's a little bit more process than saying, okay, you're president now, and do a seat swap, right? So I thought, well, maybe if we look at the bylaws, one, we could figure out what the mission of this body is supposed to be, and two, what the scope of work is supposed to be. So although I agree with Rick on some things, I don't agree on the approach. For example, this is the bylaws of an advisory body. I don't think that we should go to the administrative mechanism of this body and ask their permission to change the bylaws. And so to go to Dean and say, okay, Dean, you know, we'd like to modify these bylaws, that's going to the administrative mechanism. No, they're supposed to administer. They're not supposed to advise. You know, and so I see that systematically as time has gone on, these advisories, these commissions, you know, bodies have evolved into being separate entities and performing better than being basically rubber stamps for the larger government that they take their direction from.
Right.
Because basically the county is the administrative mechanism who's supposed to be taking the direction from Zone 3. And Zone 3 is taking direction from them. And so this has happened across the country, you know, and you can call it many, many different things, right? But this is one body that really, really needs to be looked at. And so whatever the process is, whether it's OCSD coming saying, we would like, as water procurers, we would like to have the bylaws reviewed. You know, I politely asked two meetings ago for a mission statement and a scope of work review. And I was quite surprised when it was discussed in TAC and it was not placed on the agenda.
What is the general mechanism for placing things on the agenda?
You know, that should be in the bylaws.
Is it in the bylaws?
No. No. And I don't think that going to and asking permission from the larger entity is the correct way. In other commissions and neighborhood networks, whatever you want to call them, right, what happens is you have a working committee, which would be tech, right, and RAC. You have a working committee, they have recommendations. It goes before an executive committee, it's put on the agenda, and the body discusses it.
Okay. I thought is that as OCSD, as a member, should request that it go on the agenda. And that should come from OCSD if that's what OCSD wants to do, wants to have a review of the bylaws. Then that the request should come from OCSD. Put this, you've articulated really well, review the scope of the work, what they're looking for, and a letter, that's how, if you've asked and it didn't get put on there, then it seems the next step would be a written letter. So you've got documentation.
Yeah, I'm fine with a written letter, you know.
But it should come from OCSD, probably signed by the representative, which is you.
Yeah. You know, that's fine.
And
you know, another thing, too, you know, how long has Zone 3 been in effect, Rick? 30 years?
For the last...
No, wait a minute. Can you answer my question? 30 years?
Well, since...
Since the dam was built,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Do you know that Oceano has never, ever, ever been president on that body? Grover has done it numerous times, you know, AG, you know, everybody else, but even the at-large seat held it for 10 years. Oceano has never, as one of the water procurers there, has never been able to chair that body. I'd like to make a motion that Oceano OCSD send Zone 3 a letter saying, please review your bylaws, mission statement, and scope of work.
It does. We don't have a draft letter. It's on the agenda, but there's
discussion.
No draft letter.
Review draft, yeah.
So maybe we should do that for the next meeting. Draft letter.
Have a, yeah. That'll give you some time so you can put it together, too.
And just start thinking about what to do if they ignore it. You know, how to go about forcing the issue.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just want the ball to roll,
yeah.
You know. I don't want Oceano to have to sit at the kiddie table anymore at that board. You know,
okay.
I mean, no, seriously. The male directors sit at a table higher than us. They set us at the kiddie table. You know, so, I mean, come on.
Okay, well, let's...
That's well put. I agree.
Do you want me to draft a letter for you? Do you want to work with me? Do you want to just do it?
Sure, I'll work with you.
Okay, so we'll get it on the agenda.
Then we'll put it back on the agenda for our next meeting.
No, we're going to do it electronically. Okay, I move that we... do we have to make a motion, or do we all agree that legal counsel and I'll put a letter together with Rick and... Bring it back to the board for another approval.
I think we just bring it back.
Because you know we keep delaying and keep delaying and keep delaying, by the time it hits their agenda, it's going to be 5 months.
Right.
6 months.
When is the next Zone 3 meeting?
I believe it's November 17th.
No, it's not.
October.
I have a calendar.
Because I think we should...
No, I think it's like the 5th or 6th or something.
In the global we of things, I think we should get that on the next... We can have the letter drafted and on their
zone
next
Zone 3
agenda.
Is the 6th.
Of November?
Of October.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We could,
that's perfect.
The letter could be done, and I think, and sent... Well...
Right here.
Tech.
Oh, tech.
Yeah.
Well, they spelt tech wrong.
When's your next meeting?
No, I think it's every other month.
Well, this is the agenda for Thursday, September 15th, and then item 10, it says the next regular meeting tentatively scheduled for Thursday, November 17th. 6:30 at Arroyo Grande Chamber.
Yeah, I got an email.
And it is on my November.
I got an email, so there's more than enough time to react to this and get it done.
Okay.
Okay, so we send them a letter in November, right?
We send a letter prior to that. You approve it at your next meeting.
On October 12th, the 13th, it goes out.
We'll approve it at our next meeting, right? We'll send the letter to them. They'll go, okay, well, we'll put this on the agenda for February, January?
Well, it should be on the 17th if all of the issues are resolved by then.
But was the agenda set at the last zone meeting? Because it's usually set at that meeting.
Yes, it was.
So you're not going to get it on the next zone.
No, I think it was.
But I think it was on there. I think they placed the review of the bylaws on the next agenda.
Great, okay. Great.
It says item 8 was future agenda items. And I
would suggest that it be signed by both Director Lucy and President Angelo also. As that way we all know it, there's no misunderstanding that it's the direction of this board that we want to see this happen.
So we could whip that out by Friday, right?
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah.
Pretty simple.
We'll get it over to you.
Okay.
Yeah. So the plan of action is to write him a letter.
Yeah.
If time is an issue, can just authorize Mary and Rick to finish the draft that's on this agenda and send it.
Okay.
That's if the board agrees that's how they want to proceed.
You mean this draft of the Nacimiento? You mean the one that's the Nacimiento plan, that one? The 3 years old one? Is that what you're talking about?
The discussion of the redraft letter.
The review draft letter.
Okay, that one.
It's a very rough draft.
All right. Sure.
Okay.
Do you have that letter written?
Let's move on to C, review draft letter of support addressed to the Board of Supervisors for the Napomo Supplemental Water Supply Project. Recommended action is board approval.
Okay. First of all, we have Mr. John Songson to make public comment.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf. There is no threat. If you look at their own hydrologists, they have, and this is in their website, they have measured the water level in this aquifer since 1975, both spring and fall. In 1975, there was 82,000 acre feet of water. In the spring of this year, there's 87,000 acre feet of water. So where is the imminent concern about we're running out of water? It's just not factually supported. And what this organization, the Community Alliance, Mesa Community Alliance, is trying to do is to recognize that there's always going to be water issues, and it should be a regional solution. And in order for it to be a regional solution, we need to convince the Board of Supervisors to weigh in on this issue. Because there's so little knowledge by the average populace, this thing is snowballing right along the tracks with nobody really paying much attention to it. I happen to live in Cypress Ridge. I'm a rural water customer user. If you use their own figures, I'm going to be tagged for $40,000 worth of additional costs. I won't see one drop of that water because the pipeline stops before it even gets there. So it, you know, this was all started by a court decision back in the 90s and developed by attorneys, and the average Joe doesn't know anything about it. And before this board takes a position on it, if you aren't or haven't had access to the other side of the issue, I'm sure the eight people that formed this committee would be happy to spend a half hour. We've done it three times up and down, and people are just shocked when they look at what the facts really are. Larry Versal, former mayor of Grover Beach, is one of the committee members. You may be familiar with him. It's just, I would strongly recommend that before you take a position on this, you avail yourselves of all of the information that they have accumulated. That's my request to you.
Sir, can I ask to see the brochure that you brought in?
The proposal is to formulate a taxing district, so this is going to go on the tax bill part of it. They're way woefully underestimating the cost of this thing, and it's like putting two straws in a glass, taking water out of one straw and put it right back in the glass with the other straw. So in the big picture, there's no supplemental water. It makes good press, but it's just not factual. Now, if we were tying into California water or Lake Nacimiento or Lake Lopez, that is additional water for Napomo. But that is not the case. So it's really misrepresented, in our opinion. And we would like to, on behalf of the organization, have an opportunity to share some factual information with you.
Yeah.
We can't even, you know, they claim that there was saltwater intrusion in Oceano. We can't verify that. We think that was a maintenance issue, and there was, in fact, no saltwater intrusion. The only way you get saltwater intrusion is you use so much of the aquifer that it lowers. Well, their own report shows that it hasn't lowered in 30 years. So what's the threat? Now, it's not a yes or no issue, but if we get some support and take a fresh look at this before we commit, we being NCSD, commit all the users to a $400 million solution that really doesn't add a drop of water, we think that's not right. We think it should be relooked at. There's new technology out there, desal, whatever you want, and see if we can't come up with a better solution. But if everybody keeps signing on, then it looks like everybody's in agreement, and the board of supervisors might be inclined to not even get involved in it.
Is that Napomo has a problem, and they need to fix it, and they need to resolve the issue. Whether they go with the intertie or they go find another option, that's up to them. So what we're basically saying is that Napomo needs to get supplemental water. Where they get it from is not our business, and so that's why we are submitting this letter, because this thing has been going on for several years and nothing's been done. And so that's why I'm requesting that you guys, because of our agreement in the Northern Cities Management Association, which Molly attends the meetings with me, we need to comply with sending this letter.
It's not so much this letter, it's not so much a political issue. There will be a lot of political issues surrounding the mechanism to comply with the court order. But this letter is being sent because Napomo has not complied with the court's order. It needs to comply somehow. And Tom's right, we don't really have an interest in how they do that necessarily, but they must comply with the court's order. And this is the first. There are steps that need to be taken. They need to start taking those steps. The politics, there will be arguments on both sides, obviously. You know, which project is better, which will work, you know, for what reason. But they need to take steps to start complying. It was supposed to have been done I think, 2 years ago, and really nothing's been done. And that's why we're moving forward now to try to get it going.
And I know that Mr. Nguyen chairs the RAC meeting, and he's very much involved in Nipomo. I don't know if it's on his board or staff, but and so what's the justification for not pumping their surplus?
They don't have a surplus. All they do is pump groundwater.
They
don't have. All they do is pump groundwater.
Yes, I understand that.
We have Lopez and we have State.
Right.
So we don't use our groundwater. We pumped, I think, 30 acre feet so far this year.
Yes.
And the only reason why we pumped it is because Lopez has been doing the revamp.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit more history there than that.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying. But the problem with NCSD is that...
Can you answer my question, though?
What?
Why does Mr. Nguyen not collect this groundwater? What is his rationale for not taking the 2,500 acre feet?
What do you mean, his rationale? He is taking. They are trying to find a way to take it. They can't get state water. Because they voted against it twice. They don't have access to Lopez water because they didn't get in on the party when that was all put in place. Mm-hmm. They have no other place to get the water.
I believe I can answer that question.
Thank you.
They haven't taken it because they can't use it. They don't have a demand for it today. They're putting in this whole mechanism for future growth. That's why. And the reason they're delaying it, we believe, is because they simply don't have the support in terms of potential votes to pass it. So they keep deferring it. That's why you're not seeing any action, we think.
Okay.
So anyways, it's really not our problem to address, mm-hmm. but it is our problem to say, hey, you basically need to get off the dime. We don't care how you do it. And so that's why I'm recommending that you put this letter in place.
My concern is the same as that I had 2 weeks ago when we first looked at this letter, and it's been glaringly confirmed tonight. When Nipomo was putting out press releases and mailers talking about Oceana's wells being threatened for saltwater intrusion or seawater intrusion, we know from our reports that that's not true. And I think that our letter should include that, you know, if we're going to send this letter out, that it should include some language about not relying or accusing Oceano of wells of being in jeopardy, because that's not the case.
There's a problem with that as well. Mm-hmm. The problem that occurred with that is that we, as part of the Northern Cities Management Group, publish a letter or publish a report every year, of which these reports come out, and your past management, much like your Five Cities fire budget, completely ignored it. And there were discussions of saltwater intrusion, and we know
threat was put there, saltwater intrusion. And Grover Beach has never slowed down on their groundwater pumping. They still pump the same groundwater today that they did 5 years ago.
And so does Arroyo Grande.
No, Arroyo Grande did slow down on their groundwater, but they're back up pumping, but they did slow down. Grover did not. Oceano stopped. That's why we sit on 700 acre feet out there. We stopped pumping. We only pumped to prime our pumps. You know, because we wanted to be sure that we weren't.
That's not actually true. We pump when we have service interruptions from state water,
right,
and from.
But I'm saying.
And I have documented reports that I can distribute to the board.
Let me clarify what I was trying to say then, is that we stopped pumping the same level of groundwater when the threat was thrown out. We pumped a lot more groundwater because it was the cheapest water at that time.
And that's accurate, because we pumped like 273 acre feet during the time that was there, and that is accurate.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying, is that we pulled way, way, way back.
where you have it's in here.
But what do you say is not factual in this letter?
When the campaign started, right, is that we stopped our groundwater pumping for that time. And so it says that, you know,
have limited their pumping.
That we reduced or for nearly limited their pumping. But we had had, you know, we were the only one out of all three to stop pumping. But the train had left the station and CCWA had already got a state of emergency fax to them and it was off and running. And that the other, you know, it may be nitpicking, but I don't think all three of us responded the same. So maybe we could do that. Say, you know, each entity, you know, Pismo, Grover, and Oceano, you know, responded to their reduced.
We can say what we have done and leave out. This was our level.
Yeah, we can say what we did and leave the other two out.
I can't speculate as to what or make any representations as to what anybody else did.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think it's important that it not be lost that we did take the strongest action, you know, and took it the most serious, not knowing that it was a.
So to be clear, then, if we took out
the big party.
If we took out that sentence that said one. More than one third of the, it should be districts anyways. District's freshwater supply comes from Santa Maria ground basement and vast underground reservoir coming through from Pismo Beach, Santa Maria. For nearly 30 years, Oceano Community Service District have limited their pumping in the Santa Maria ground basin to not exceed the basin safe yield. Yeah. However, continued growth on the Napomo Mesa, which depends entirely on groundwater from the Santa Maria groundwater basin has contributing to a deepening groundwater depression underlying the Napomo area that threatens the entire region.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Right there, we don't have to include anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, just leave the other
so
two.
So we'll
out
take
of
out the other entities then.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Does everybody agree that that is okay in your? Any other comments, or can we go ahead and do an approval on this tonight with the changes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any other changes?
I don't think so. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I'll so move.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, let's see, let's do a roll call vote for this.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Searcy?
Yes.
President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Vice President Guerrero?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we'll make those changes and get it sent. Okay. Next item will be discussion review First Data Service adding credit card payment option to OCSD. There was some information in our packets, and this is recommended for board approval. And
transaction costs and everything else, and I think it's a service that we need to extend to our ratepayers. NCSD has implemented this, the Roy Grandy's implemented it, I believe Roy Grandy's implemented, but it just gives them another way to pay. And it eliminates somebody having to go scramble your cash when they come in.
Yeah.
Explain this to me. Usually there's a percentage of the purchase on the cards.
Right.
So how does that work?
The number we got, if they do a debit card,
1.2%.
It's like 1.2%, and if they do use it as a credit card, it's all the for the three cards, Visa, MasterCard, and Discover, which are your big three, it's like 1.47%.
And that's to the district?
No, that's what we pay. That's what First Data and RABA would charge to do that transaction.
Yeah, now, that's a payment to the district. So if the so somebody comes in, right, and they have a water bill of $1,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
The district will pay 1.4% of that $1,000 to use the plastic.
To use the plastic.
Yes.
Okay.
But the difference is that we get the payment right away. It posts immediately. And it gives... Now, how many people do I think are going to use this? Maybe 20%. But it's just another option that we have.
Is it a real-time posting?
Is it what?
Is it a real-time posting?
Yeah, it posts real-time. We get the money right away. So we don't... We lose the thing on the float. And I just think in this day and age, it's a customer service thing we need to do. Just like we're also looking at going to pay stations.
Yeah, I agree that plastic is the future and all that stuff, right? But in being in similar businesses, somebody comes in and pays a $10,000 electric bill at a place, and I have to pay 1.4% on that $10,000 electric bill. You know, the numbers don't work.
But you're not paying. You're not paying that. The customer, whoever your customer is, if it's PG&E, you don't have to pay that $1,000 as the business holder. It comes off the top. I see what you're saying, that we would have to pay for it.
The merchant pays the 1.4%.
Right.
The customer has their own 2.5% they have to pay.
Right.
The district will pay 1.4%.
Mm-hmm.
There are some advantages to this whole process, though.
There's no doubt there's a ton of advantages to it.
One of them being is that we have an analysis fee on our monthly bank statement that can run in excess of $300. And a lot of that analysis fee is going to go away with use of this machine, as well as the other machine that they're offering is one where you can run the check through, like at some of the grocery stores.
EFTs.
It is done immediately from their account to our account.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have less bounced checks, mm-hmm. because if there's not money in the account to cover it, sorry, we can't take your check today.
Right.
So there are some advantages.
Yeah, in the EFT system, you don't pay the 1.4%. You don't have to pay anything.
Right.
I'm just saying is that that's what I've ran up against with the barriers to using the cards.
No, excuse me. It's my belief that this is the wave of the future, and we did get a lot of that, the trends, when we went to the finance meeting, the seminar, and I think that the opportunity to give the residents another way, an additional way of paying their bill is a plus, and I think that the expense that is incurred by providing this service will, in the long run, be well worth it for not just the district, but for the residents and the office and bookkeeping and everything.
Well, and if we were to take credit cards, we talked earlier about the issues of, you know, going from one paycheck to the next, and once in a while one does need to go to a credit card, mm-hmm. for an emergency, and I think this is a perfect example of an emergency. No one likes to go out and say, sorry, we're here to shut your water off.
Mm-hmm. Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we have first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed?
I'm going to abstain.
You're going to abstain? Okay. Okay, I think this is a really good idea. Okay, now let's go on to discussion for the 2009-10 audit selection.
Okay. As I reported earlier, Madam Chairman, we're closing the books on next Monday. Mm-hmm. And at your next meeting, you will have three people for which to select to do the audit. And at that time, we will go forward on that.
Okay, sounds good.
Excellent.
Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay. Let's move on to F, Resolution 2011-8, Resolution of the Oceano Community Service District amending Section 1.2 of the bylaws.
Okay, Madam Chairman, let me give you some history on this. I should have done this earlier when we had more people in the audience, but I really commend the fact that we do get our ratepayers to attend the meetings and give us good, sound advice, and we need that. I mean, as much as I like these meetings over as quickly as anybody else, they're a valuable input to our organization. And as I've stated before, I hold office hours and whatever. I received an email from somebody that questioned the way that we basically took control of the meetings by putting rules back in to address the public comment properly and eliminate the cycle of people coming up and commenting, so we never got anything done. And that person pointed out that we weren't following the bylaws, and when I reviewed it, it made sense that we needed to amend Section 1.2. So I put that before you, and I am requesting a vote to put this in. It's basically housekeeping on the way that we conduct our meetings. I've reviewed it with council, and we feel that this is the best way to go. And I still welcome people to come forward and make the public comments. And this just provides the way that it addresses the way that we've been conducting business and need to continue to conduct business. But never do we ever want to discourage anybody from stepping to that microphone and telling us how bad we are, how wonderful we are, if they've got an issue. It's their district, and we need to honor that.
Correct. I think it's just an effort to make sure that it's just done in an orderly and predictable manner.
Okay. Do we have any other comments? Okay. Need a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the Resolution 2011-08, Resolution of the Oceano Community Service District amending Section 1.2 of the bylaws.
Okay. And is there a second?
I'll second that.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Okay.
Under 1.4A, I'm sorry I didn't pick this up earlier. Under the Brown Act, can a board member legally speak to person at the public comment, or do they have to direct their question to staff? I don't think that they can directly ask somebody at the podium a question from the table.
They can.
They can.
And this is taken. Actually, I can look. It looks to me like it's straight out of the law, out of the Brown Act.
Yeah.
But if it's not, it's very close to it. They can ask for clarification or briefly respond. It is limited, and I think those are the words. It's kind of not clear. Actually, I can probably find it.
I remember reading that in the Brown Act when I was looking at the government code.
I think we're trying to be as transparent and as inclusive as possible, but sometimes people have a way of abusing things.
Well, the action item is on 1.2, and if you want, we can examine 1.4, but the resolution is written on 1.2. So we have a motion, and we need a roll call vote, and then you can request that we look at 1.4.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were reviewing the whole state.
No, we're only reviewing 1.2.
Oh.
Do both at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh, we do have public comment. I'm sorry.
Good evening. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Go, no, go ahead. You're allowed.
No, you're fine.
You can step to the.
Are you Ronald Caddy?
I am.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Do you have any comment?
Say anything about your brother? I don't.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You confused us.
You didn't sit through all this just then. If there's any questions, but.
Well, it looks way better. Man, that green trailer gone.
That was nice.
The roof going up.
Anyways, we recommend approval. Do we need a vote?
I'd move to approve.
Second. Anybody have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Caddy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we have Wilser, item number 6248, Bolton Workshop, recommended approval. And this is the one down on the Pomo Street, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, anyone have questions? It looks, so far it looks good.
Yeah. And move to approve.
Okay. And do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, approved. And C, nothing under fee letters. And public comment. Okay. Board member discussion.
I'd like to start the discussion. I'd like to bring up, actually it's more to 14. I was talking to a constituent about will serve letters, and they pointed out, I came in and talked to staff, that there's nothing on our website, and we should have a brochure if we don't have one at the front desk.
Telling them what.
Yeah, so for people, because I think that's the best way for us, like the recycling center, is to raise money and to sell water as a water company, is to get more meters in the ground. And so we need to, my opinion is, make it as easy as possible for people to know what to do to get a meter. And the information is here in the house. We just need to make sure that it's readily available to the public.
Okay.
I don't think we're trying to hide it. I'm not accusing anybody of that, but I'm just, you know.
It's. I agree with what you're saying, and when we reviewed the issues on previous will serve letters, the previous management again, the documentation was quite suspect, and certain people were asked to pay, and certain people were not asked to pay. And now what we're doing is we're applying the uniform standards to everybody, but we can add it to the website without a problem.
I think it's appropriate. Good.
That'd be great.
Because there are some people who are developing and want to make sure that they're being treated fairly. And so.
Okay, and do we have any board member items for next board meeting agenda?
Probably the cleanup.
Put that on there.
Yeah, that's right. That's. We'd like to remind everybody that's going to be October 15th and 16th. We have. I volunteered.
Oh, great.
And so I'll be out there with my boots.
And your gloves.
Please. And my gloves, yeah.
Come out to the dinner on the first Saturday at the depot from 5 to 7.
$5.
Get to know your neighbors.
$5 spaghetti feed's hard to beat.
Yes, we'll be having spaghetti.
Mary can't wait. I'm going to go home and make some now.
Okay, is there anything else that anyone has to discuss? Saying nothing?
No, do we have Zone 3 on there?
Yes.
Oh, let's put Zone 3 on there.
The Zone 3 letter.
I'm sorry. See, nothing.
We're not cut loose with the Zone 3. I'm sorry, you guys.
And back, you know what? Back to the cleanup. The Oceano Advisory Committee is soliciting donations for the cleanup from all the businesses, any local homeowners, any local residents that would like to contribute. I would encourage them to contact. I think it's Barbara Mann.
Barbara.
And they have set up a special account to handle just those funds. And so I'd like to encourage everybody. Who can to contribute their time and money to that effort.
That's it. Okay. We are adjourned.
Thank you.